And now to our live drive question of the day. Brian Wood has it. Brian, have at it.
Well, of course, we learned over the weekend that the students would be back as of tomorrow. And then kind of some will say good news. Some will say, well, what about everybody else that in the first 2 weeks, if a student decides, you know what, I want to drop out this year, they don't get an academic mark for it, there's no bad mark, they'll get the full refund of their tuition, which is great. However, once all the dust settles from this, where should the blame be pointed? Now, pretty much, it started off early being very split. I could see a lot of votes going one way or another. You could see a battle back and forth, but now everybody's kind of settled in on one thing. 11% of people blaming the Ontario government. 22% blaming College Employers Council. 10% blaming OPSU, which leaves a whopping 57% of people saying, you know what? It's all three. All three are to blame for this, and there's going to be a lot of time, work, and energy needed to fix this so that it doesn't happen again.
Okay, so we're blaming all three.
Blaming all three.
Okay. I put the profs at the top of the list. The profs are thugs. There we go. Don't beat around the bush, Andy. Tell us how you really feel. Okay, it is 3:11, 11 minutes after 3. Okay, here comes the backlash already on my position that the professors who voted for a strike. I want to add that proviso, okay? Because over half of the professors in London did not vote for a strike, although we are told that in the most recent vote, the percentage was much higher. So let me just say that for my comment about the professors being thugs, I'm referring specifically to those who voted for a strike. Andy, my wife has worked at Fanshawe College for 5 years part-time. She averages around 10 hours per week. She lost her hours at the last minute at least 10 times. She volunteers 5 to 10 hours per month. How is she a thug? You are so out of touch and anti-union that you have lost all sense of reality. Okay, appreciate the text and the candor. Okay, there it is. Thank you, Brian. A note on my screen. Andrew Scheer, the next Prime Minister of Canada. Is that how they introduce him when he's... The man who's going to bump Justin Trudeau off his pedestal. I'm only paraphrasing what I'm sure is the phraseology used when they introduced Andrew Scheer. Now, the next Prime Minister of Canada. Anyway, he is going to join us. We have just had that confirmed just after 5 o'clock. And he'll be interviewed on CTV News. Okay, it's 3:30. We are going to... She's not the Prime Minister of Canada, but she is a politician, and she represents London West. And I'm sure she has some thoughts on OPSU about the strike. You may or you may not agree with her. I'm sure she does not agree with anything this woman says.
Mr. Speaker, the solution of the third party would have been to let that bargaining go on forever and keep those students out of class indefinitely. Unacceptable, not a solution, not what we would have done.
Okay, 3:30. We'll talk to Peggy Sattler and welcome your thoughts on this strike by our college professor thugs. And we'll be back with that in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Three 33 on this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. I have already apologized to Peggy Sattler for the clip I'm about to play because it must cause her grief when she calls to talk to me and she hears this.
Mr. Speaker, the solution of the third party would have been to let that bargaining go on forever and keep those students out of class indefinitely. Unacceptable, not a solution, not what we would have done.
Okay, but the Liberals love our students, and so Deb Matthews announced this.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
Joining us now from London West, actually from Queen's Park, Peggy Sattler, the MPP for the NDP for London West. Hi, Peggy.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
I'm glad this is coming to an end, and I'm sure you are.
We are glad to have students back in the classrooms tomorrow. This is absolutely the worst possible way that this could have unfolded to get them back.
Well, I agree with you, and I think when Deb Matthews says the nightmare is over, she got it bass-ackwards, to invent a phrase, bass-ackwards. It has only just begun. I have suggested, I want to get your thoughts on this, you have a long history in education, but when it comes to the students and their grief caused by this strike, probably the nightmare has just begun, because now, if they were struggling in any way before, and, you know, who knows, roughly half of students are struggling with a number of issues. In fact, maybe you could say most students are struggling with whatever issues they are dealing with. All of the pressures have just increased dramatically.
Yeah, certainly I agree, Andy. And today's announcement about this hardship fund of $500 is insulting, quite frankly, to students who are out of pocket, like major expenses they've had to pay for rent and to change flights and, you know, all kinds of things. So there was the announcement of this $500 cap, and there was also an announcement about a tuition refund for students who basically drop out or withdraw from college. Nothing about students who want to redo their semester. They want to get the full value of the tuition that they have paid, and they want a fresh start in January.
Well, it struck me when Deb Matthews announced, so in such a cavalier way, yeah, we're going to have a bunch of students drop out. It's like, really? That's how much sympathy you have? I just want to bring my producer, Brian Wood, in, because we're part of the CTV News family, and CTV will have a story on this. And there, Brian, one hardship story in particular.
Yeah, one that's going to be featured tonight is a second-year student from Panama who arrived at the end of October to start at Fanshawe, only to find out, well, it's on strike. They had no idea. There was no indication that they were told the international students out of country. So he came back to, what, 3 weeks of no class, not knowing?
Peggy, what stories have you heard?
Oh, my goodness. I've heard from students who are in absolute panic over how they will ever manage to go back, to have to compress the 5 weeks that they missed into 2 weeks over the, you know, and cutting into their Christmas break and their January course schedule. They are also, you know, really struggling to remember what they learned in the first 4 weeks of the semester back in September when they've had this 5 week break. So they are very, very, very stressed out about how they will be able to get a credit for this course, and that's why I said I have heard from a lot of students who just want a redo. They want a fresh start. They want to get, you know, they want to make sure that they're being able to cover all of the material that is included in the courses that they signed up for, and so far today's announcement has added no clarity. It's only made the situation more confusing for students who are already feeling incredible pressure.
Peggy, I have read the comments and had the comments of so many people on the air, and they make it very complex, and this side deserves this much blame. I have a basic principle here, and tell me if I'm wrong. In fact, I you may not agree with me. When the people at CAMI walked out on a strike, that was between them and the employer. Have at it, strike, and bear the consequences, and duke it out. But nobody, let me say it again, nobody has the right to take our kids hostage, full stop, end of story. Battle the government, battle the college employer, battle whoever, but you can't reach over and grab our kids and hold them hostage. You're coming.
Well, teachers, college faculty are not classified as an essential service, and you know that is under the Charter of Rights. Unions have the ability to bargain collectively with their employers. However, in Ontario, we have existing legislation, the Colleges of Applied Arts and Technology Act, that allows the minister to intervene into the affairs of colleges if it's deemed to be in the public interest. And certainly, government intervention in this labor dispute would have been in the public interest weeks ago. And so the fact that that the premier and the minister sat on their hands and did nothing for 5 weeks until finally, they decided to call the parties together, that is unacceptable. And it has hurt students the most. There's no question that students are bearing the financial, the emotional, the mental health costs of this 5 weeks of complete disruption in their lives.
Okay. Peggy, I know that was a political answer. I'm going to ask you just blunt. Does any union have the right to take our kids hostage? And I'm not the only one using that phrase. I've read a number of columns today. They're all saying they're using the reference to hostage. If they want to fight with the employer, go ahead and fight with the employer. But don't reach over and grab my kids and hold them in this situation. That's what I call holding them hostage. Does a union have the right to do that? I know what the law says, but morally, do you agree with them having that right?
The Charter of Rights and Freedoms in this country gives labor unions the right to bargain collectively in cases where public safety is at stake. So for certain categories of workers, like police and ambulance and certain healthcare workers, there is interest arbitration if there is a labor dispute. In the case of college faculty, they do have the right to bargain collectively with their employer.
Peggy, I know that. I know that. What I'm going to ask you now is, are we just going to have this polite discussion about who has what rights, and then we carry on with the same damn system, and 4 years from now, you and I are going to have this discussion all over again? Yes, unions have their rights. They did nothing illegal, and we screw our kids again, Peggy.
Well, you know, governments have a clear role to play because they are the principal funder of education, both K-12 education and college education. In the case of post-secondary, the governments also set the tuition fees that colleges can charge. So they have a very clear role to play in terms of the financial resources that are available to colleges when there is a collective bargaining situation. We believe that the government has the authority under existing legislation to intervene and ensure that the collective bargaining discussions that take place are in the public interest. And in this case, this Liberal government refused to do that, allowed this situation to drag on for 5 weeks without taking any steps at all to protect the interests of students, to exercise the authority that it has under legislation and try to get this situation resolved. We would actually say that the situation should have never come to a strike in the first place if the government had been fulfilling its responsibility to appropriately fund our post-secondary education. Ontario spends less than any other province on college education in Canada.
Yes, and I have said repeatedly that there are issues that need to be addressed, and they need badly to be addressed. But again, we come back to that fundamental principle, which you and I obviously are going to disagree on, and that is you're NDP, you're going to protect the right to strike, even if that means taking our kids hostage. And Peggy, you and I could talk about this all afternoon. I'm not going to budge an inch. You got to be smart enough and civilized enough and respectful enough of the kids to say, you know what, nobody has the right to do this to our kids, no matter how much you preach about union rights. The kids got screwed, and everybody's saying, oh yeah, but there's the bad guy over there. I'm going to have Paul McKeever on. He's saying, hey, the NDP, the Conservatives, the Liberals, they're all to blame, and so is the college employer, and so is the union. But who's going to fix it, Peggy?
Well, the government has a responsibility to fix it. As I said, the government should have been acting long before it came to a strike to deal with some of these pressures in the post-secondary system. And these have been, the colleges have been desperately trying to call the government, bring the government's attention to the fact that that they're facing a crisis. They're looking at over $5 billion accumulated deficit for operating costs. costs and deferred maintenance costs within the next 8 years unless something radically changes in the system. They've been doing everything they can, colleges, to try to deal with these fiscal pressures, but they have not had a partner in the government of Ontario, and that has led to this state of labor relations.
Peggy, I'm going to translate what you just said. What you're saying is it's the government's responsibility to fix this, but if they don't, I fully endorse the union's right to take our kids hostage again in 4 years. Say that to John, who just went to Sarnia and his son dropped out of a firefighting course at St. Clair College, and he's now going to go to one in Texas. That's because of this system. Now, you can stand there on your podium and say, well, that's because of a bad government. What you're saying is, Peggy, forgive me if I am not translating what you're saying properly. If the government does not fix this problem, unions have the right to screw our kids. You won't use that language, but that's what you're saying.
The Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada guarantees the right to bargain collectively as it is a charter right. And so unless a union is there's a jeopardy to public safety, that charter right has to be protected. That, you know, that's not a political position, that's a constitutional position.
Yes, I agree.
I also feel, Andy, that in this case, you know, the Liberals created a system that is clearly completely broken. They created this, you know, through the legislation, the College Collective Bargaining Act in 2008. They created this process which has failed students, it's failed colleges, it's failed communities. That has to be addressed, but also those fundamental issues that could have prevented any of this labor disruption if the province had stepped up to the plate and dealt with these things when it should have.
Peggy, I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but what you just repeated, exactly what I said, if the cause is worthy, our professors have the right to screw our kids. Sorry for the blunt language. That's the message you've just conveyed. That's the message of the NDP, and we'll see how that bounces in the next election. But these professors...
We're not prepared to declare college faculty as an essential service.
Well, then find a better way, Peggy, to fix this.
We will be doing that, Andy. We're going to be changing the collective bargaining process through the College Collective Bargaining Act, and we're going to ensure that some of these fundamental issues around the underfunding of post-secondary education are addressed. And this would have prevented this whole labor dispute. It would have prevented... taking kids hostage from the very beginning, if the government had stepped up and carried out its responsibility to deal with these issues. That's why we have governments. They're supposed to be dealing with these issues in the first place.
Peggy, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I like Peggy, but I think she and I could have talked all afternoon. She just can't say the words. Nobody has the right to screw our kids. Nobody has the right, and she even used the word, take our kids hostage. What she said, forgive me if I'm wrong, and especially if you're NDP, tell me that I am misquoting her when she's saying, if the cause is right, you can screw the kids. If the cause is right, you can go on strike and hurt our kids. And I'm saying, take the kids out of the equation. You should never hurt our kids. I'm going to talk to Paul McKeever in just a moment with the Freedom Party. He at least agrees with me. You don't screw the kids. You find another way to fix it. 519-643-1290. Texters. Andy, too bad that you have to blame the NDP for this. The Liberals could have put the legislation through weeks ago. I agree with that. And I agree they should. But I wasn't talking to Kathleen Wynne. I was talking to Peggy Sattler. Andy, the legislation for unions that are using our kids as a bargaining issue should be stopped as soon as possible. If there is a government willing to change the system, they have my vote. Andy, so much for a former Thames Valley District School Board trustee. Andy, unions were good 50 years ago. Now they are only a money-making scam for the leaders. Andy, Peggy is not going to answer your question because her beliefs are behind the union. If the NDP were in power, our kids would still be out of class. Andy, dodge and weave. This is the exact reason why someone like Trump gets elected. Never a straight answer. Oh, no, Peggy, someone might disagree with you and you might upset them. Andy, why wouldn't you hang up on someone who refuses to answer questions? I don't hang up on people. The NDP would just hand out our money to unions and screw the rest of us over. Sandy, what do you make of all of this?
Well, I was very, very disappointed, and it made me realize I was actually thinking of the NDP party, but I now realize they're not the ones. I will not vote for Wynne again. I just can't do it. So I think, I don't know. It's going to be awful to figure out who to vote for.
What did you think of Peggy's answer?
That wasn't the answer I was looking for.
What answer were you looking for?
That they could have done something. I believe I've seen all this from elementary school, high school, everything. No. It's important for our kids to get an education. You can't do it to them. So they should be just like a priority, like the police, the fire department, teachers, nurses, you know, doctors. No, you can't go on strike.
What she said in very simple terms is the government should make the professors happy or the professors have the right to screw our kids. And I hate to use the blunt language,
exactly.
But our kids got screwed, and the nightmare has just begun. They are now under...
And it's going to continue and continue until they get enough guts in them that they don't have to expect these unions to... It's always a union business. I mean, I work for a union, too, and it helped some of us, but I can see now, no, the union is no good.
I appreciate the call. I am so angry over this that nobody has the guts to agree with me to say we shouldn't hurt the kids. I should have put it that way to Peggy. Peggy, just say with me, we shouldn't hurt the kids. We should find a way to resolve this without hurting the kids. She couldn't do it. And I don't think there's a politician out there who has the guts to say it. Richard, your thoughts.
Good afternoon. How are you this afternoon, Andy?
I'm steamed, but go ahead.
Well, I listened to Peggy Sattler, and I certainly didn't hear any answers that I wanted to hear. And you know, it's funny, right, when Peggy Sattler, right, she talks about the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and she talks, right, about being against back-to-work legislation. It's funny that the NDP in every province I've lived in this country, Andy, when they're in opposition, right, they are strongly opposed to back-to-work legislation. But as soon as they get in office and they've got the realities of governing before them, then they're the first ones to introduce back-to-work legislation. And I could stand here all afternoon and give you one example after another, but I won't. But anyways, I just wanted to send a message to Peggy Sattler, right? The Sam Hammonds, right, and the Smokey Thomases, right, should not be running Ontario. It should be the Liberal government. And anyways, all I've got to say, right, is I wanted to hear her, right, talk about deeming them an essential service, because you're right, Andy, within the next 4 years, we're going to be back to this again, and it does get tiresome. I've been in Ontario now for the last 6 years, and to my knowledge, right, there has been 3 educational disputes, right? I think a couple of them were with Sam Hammond and now with Smokey Thomas. No, the time has come. I think that education should be deemed an essential service and it should go to binding arbitration. But having said that, Andy, right, I want them, if they do send it to binding arbitration, I want the arbitrator to know, he or she, that there is parameters, right, that they have to work in when it comes to monetary issues. When it comes to naturally academic freedom, then naturally, right, I want the two parties, right, to settle that between them with an arbitrator, because I certainly don't want the government of Ontario telling me what my thoughts should be and what my speech should be, right? But having said that, right, when it comes to money, right, there definitely has to be parameters. But no, it is time to deem them as an essential service. Have a good afternoon, Andy.
Thank you, Richard. Short break. We'll be back to share some of the texts that are pouring in right now. No politician will say on talk radio, we should not hurt the kids. End of story. Full stop. We should not hurt the kids. We should find a way to fix this without grabbing the kids by the neck until we squeeze out of them a month's rent, a month's food, a month's tuition, and then feel good because we're going to give them $500. It's pathetic. pathetic. And it's equally so for the Liberals, the NDP, the Conservatives, actually more so because the Liberals, they're in power. Back with more of your responses in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy on News Talk 1290 CJVK.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
Oh, aren't they nice? They're going to refund the tuition. Those wonderful, caring Liberals. You know, there are some days politicians just saying the word makes me need to bend over the porcelain. Really? Why can't a politician, regardless of stripe, saying, Andy, we should not hurt the kids? Just say it like that. We should not hurt the kids. Texters, Andy, they aren't kids, and this is a good life lesson for young adults that life isn't fair, says Andy. We call them kids. Andy, the government should have stopped the strike weeks ago. Don't blame the union. Blame the teachers. The prof should get rid of the union school by school. If they don't like what's happening in their school, get another job. The kids are the losers, even though we as taxpayers will pay. I hope the students win their lawsuit. Katrina, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I agree. You know, students should be essential service. But I think the other thing to think about is unions are an outdated concept. When they first came along, it was to protect children. It was to protect people who were getting injured on the job. It wasn't to, you know, get 4% versus 2%. I think the rest of us need to band up. People who are in unions are kind of in their own little world. The rest of us don't get those perks and those pay packets. And I don't know if anyone can remember the last time people went on strike and actually got out better for it.
Katrina, I am not here. This is an argument for another day. Unions, generally. I'm just saying, everybody, the unions and the politicians, should agree. Let's agree on one thing. We're not going to screw the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the union climbs on their high horse and say, but that's why we're doing it, because we love the kids. And I say that is pure, unadulterated BS. Katrina, thank you for the call. What would it take to get Andy to run for office? I wouldn't get anywhere in politics. I'm too blunt, too honest. I would not agree to anything that would directly hurt our kids. I would not be a politician. Next one, get rid of all public unions. I'm not pushing for that either. I'm just saying everybody should start with the premise we're not going to screw the kids, especially half a million kids. Let's see. Andy, you're barking up the wrong tree. The federal government has to change the Constitution to berate a guest is not right either. From Neil. Thank you for that, Neil. A little bit of tongue-in-cheek there. Andy, you won't get your answer from these politicians. They're all a bunch of finger puppets. I like that, finger puppets. Okay, we're coming up to a CTV News update. On the other side, we'll see you, Paul McKeever with the Ontario Freedom Party. Maybe we can talk sense with him when we come back on this ridiculous strike. And yes, the professors who voted for a strike are thugs because they knew this could happen and that the students would be entirely defenseless. And now to feel good because we might give them a refund for, what, up to $500? Or if they quit the course and admit their lives are ruined, which in one case a few years ago led to the suicide of our friend from West Lorne, Penny Knapp's son, directly as a result of the strike at Fanshawe College. And we're going to be high and mighty and righteous and say, yeah, but unions are legal. Unions are legal. We have the legal right to do this. Back with more of your thoughts on the other side of a CTV News update right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, let's get back to business here this afternoon, because we got to find a better way to resolve these college disputes. And if you've just joined us, I've been calling our professors who voted for this strike, knowing where it could lead, thugs. Thugs. I looked it up. A criminal a male or a female who commits a crime for his own personal gain. That's what a thug is. And it, to me, it's criminal what these profs have done with our professors, what they have put them through and what they are going to go through in the coming days. And then Deb Matthews steps forward today and says, oh, but it's okay because of this.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
Okay, and so they will get a refund. We feel good about that. Or if they stay $500 for expenses. How pathetic. How absolutely pathetic. Let's try to get another voice. I'm just looking for another voice here. Someone who's willing to start with the phrase, when we resolve these things, we should not hurt our kids. There's nobody who has the guts to say that. Nobody. Not the unions, not the liberals, not the NDP, not the... Well, Andy, we have a charter rights. Unions have the right to... Blah, 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 blah. The government shouldn't get involved. You know, all the rhetoric. None of them can simply say, we're not going to screw the kids. We're going to find a more adult and sophisticated way to do this. Let's see what the leader of the Ontario Freedom Party, Paul McKeever, can give us. Paul McKeever, appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Well, I'm looking for a new voice today on this OPSU strike. I think everybody agrees this is crazy. There's got to be a more sophisticated way to deal with this. I've taken the personal point of view that the union has issues that need to be addressed, but they have no damn right to take our kids hostage. So we got that out of the way. What's Paul McKeever thinking today?
Well, I point the finger squarely at the legislation and the people who make it. I mean, this whole thing could have been avoided if, for example, there were legislation that required these deals to be struck not later than the beginning of the school year. There's no way that these things ought to be allowed during the course of the school year, and I think it's avoidable. For example, there's no reason why we have to wait until 5 weeks into a strike during a school year before someone says, well, I guess we've got to arbitrate. You know, arbitration is the last-ditch thing. Nobody should like it. It costs the employer way more money than it would if they just negotiated with the union. And when they're allowed to do this during the course of the year, the striking part is also a real problem. We're victimizing the students. As you say, they shouldn't be held hostage. It does give the union bargaining power, but I don't think it's the kind of bargaining power that's positive or useful. It puts way too many people into a victim situation. I mean, all of those students, they'll be lucky to make good this year, and at the very least, they're going to be burning the midnight oil right through till Christmas time. So, no, I think this was a really bad move. I think what they need to do in the legislature is get back to the table and say, how can we avoid strikes that occur during a school year? And that should be not only, you know, with the colleges, but the universities and our public schools.
Well, this issue is now so politically toxic, and we're so close to an election, that's not going to happen. Many of the interviews that we do on the live drive, basically, in a very crude way, in one form or another, break down to problem and solution. Before we can really talk about a proper solution, let's talk about the problem. You made a reference to what damage this has done to the students. I'd really like to hear your thoughts, because that's where it all starts with me. They took our kids hostage, and I think, as opposed to Deb Matthews, who says the nightmare is over, that the nightmare has only just begun.
Yeah, you know, in a typical situation, the person that the union's trying to squeeze is the employer, right? Except that here, the real target, the only one being hurt, are the students. It's like somehow stopping service, like the production of cars for people who desperately need them. Not because, trying to harm the people, but because you're trying to get the manufacturer of the vehicle to somehow give you more money. Take your beef to the manufacturer. In other words, take your beef to the employer. Don't make everybody else a victim. It's not necessary. That kind of, pressure isn't needed to do a useful negotiation that serves both the employees and the employer. We got nothing out of this, right? I mean, nobody's going to be happy. The arbitration's going to cost the government more, or the employers more. The students end up, bearing the brunt of the real harm, because some of them have quit the year, some of them who are going to try and struggle through might not succeed. It's a real tragedy. It shouldn't be part of the negotiation process. The students need to be protected, and that means, I think, you do this during the summer. This might be a lesson going forward. Maybe you're right. Maybe the election makes it a non-starter, but you know what? Maybe that means it's an election issue.
Okay, so there it is. And we'll have more of our interview with Paul McKeever when I ask him to name the bad guys. Who's the bad guy? Let's make the list. Somebody's got to be responsible. I cannot live with, well, this is just our system, and unions have the right to strike, and we have a charter of rights, and blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, the kids get screwed. And 4 years from now, they could get screwed again. And we just have to find a way to fix it. And so far, nobody that I've seen has a solution. Okay, let's go back to our poll, Brian. We are doing a poll this afternoon on just a quick rundown of the question and what the answers are at this stage.
Pretty much once all the dust settles from the Ontario college teacher strike, where should the blame be pointed? Four different options that you can go for at CJBK on Twitter: the Ontario government, the College Employers Council, OPSU, or all three. 10% of people are saying the Ontario government. Another 10% are saying OPSU. So those numbers have actually dropped slightly. College Employers Council sitting at almost a quarter of people thinking the blame should be pointed at them. And 57% of people are in agreement that it's all three. In this case, it takes three to tango.
Okay. But the bottom line is, of the three parties, the unions take the most blame, 25% from that poll. Okay, and the interview with Peggy Sattler, I'm sure we're getting some requests now where they can hear that.
That is up on CJBK.com. It's also out on our Twitter and on our Facebook page.
Peggy, we still love you, but boy, really, really basic difference of opinion. NDPers will defend unions to the hilt. To me, it's not about the unions. It's about whether we have the right to screw our kids, and we don't. 416, Brian, has your traffic and weather together right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, it is time to break for CTV News Update. We're going to have more reaction to this. The professors, the thugs are back in class. They love the students. That's why they did this, and that's why they put the students through hell, because they love the students so much. The students go back to class tomorrow. If you are one of the students or the relative of one of these students, we really want to hear from you in our next half hour, how you're processing this trauma in the lives of your kids. And we'll have more reaction. All coming up in the next half hour right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, about the colleges strike. Andy, can you imagine the poison atmosphere at the colleges tomorrow? Almost 6 weeks totally wasted for nothing. Absolutely sad. Okay, in our next, I want to welcome your thoughts on this whole college strike now that it's been ended. If you have missed our conversation in the last hour with Peggy Sattler, I got to take the last 2 minutes of it. I want to share that with you. It will set up nicely the second half of my interview with the leader of the Freedom Party about how we got to make sure that this abomination, the way we've handled this strike, without going into, okay, so here's the college teacher strike position. Well, if the government had just fixed this in the first place, we wouldn't have had to go out on strike, and that would have avoided everything. And the political side, well, it's Kathleen Wynne, you know, if she had settled this. It's the NDP position. The conservatives, pretty much the same. And then Kathleen Wynne's position, of course. Well, we're really sorry that we screwed the kids, but darn it, you know, Deb Matthews has some good news for you kids.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
And then there's the Premier herself.
Mr. Speaker, the solution of the third party would have been to let that bargaining go on forever and keep those students out of class indefinitely. Unacceptable, not a solution, not what we would have done.
Okay, and if you didn't hear my interview with Peggy Sattler, I'm not going to play the whole thing, just the last 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 20 seconds. Let's just say that most interviews I've done with Peggy over the years have been friendly and respectful, and I would say that this one was along that lines, but it got intense. It got intense. And while I think of it, Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Federal Tory Party, is going to join us just after 5 o'clock for a brief stop-by. So I look forward to that conversation. But here's my moment of intense fellowship with Peggy Sattler, trying to get her to say, we got to find a way to fix this system without hurting our kids. She couldn't say it. I don't know that there's any politician who could say it. We should fix this and find a way to resolve this dispute without seriously hurting our kids. Is there any politician who has guts to say that? Kendall is a Fanshawe student, so I'm delighted, Kendall, that you've called.
Thanks. Hi.
Hi. Did you hear any of our conversation with Peggy?
I haven't been able to listen to it. I've been at home today.
Okay. Well, I can play it. Forget that. I just want to know, how are you doing, Kendall?
I'm kind of frustrated, to be honest.
Well, no, I don't know why you have to say to be honest. You should be really frustrated.
Well, we are. I've talked to a lot of my friends who are in the same program as I am, and we're a small program. So, I don't know. I guess our professors are, for our program, it's easier for our professors to help us out. But I know in bigger programs, it's going to be difficult for us going back, having missed so much time.
Is your semester in danger, Kendall?
I would say it is. I'm looking at the next 2 weeks as just a trial period to see if I can salvage my semester, and then if I can't, I'll be dropping out and starting again next year.
Oh, Kendall, I can't imagine the disruption to your life.
It has been really frustrating because I can't work extra, or the last few weeks I haven't been able to work anymore. So, and living at home, I won't be getting any of the financial help that other people will be. Because I don't pay rent, I live with my parents, I drive into school, so I'm losing out on any, if I lose my semester, yeah, I might get my tuition back, but I still pay for parking, and I pay for all that kind of stuff, too.
What do you think, and let me play the clip of Deb Matthews in their position. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
Okay, so everybody applauds. What do you think of that offer?
I mean, it's much better that we have that option now. That was a big concern for me and a lot of my friends and everyone. So it's great to have that option because I have heard of friends of my cousin who have already dropped out, friends of my other cousin who have already dropped out. So it's great that they'll be getting their tuition back, but it's still a concern for everybody. This is going to add another year for a lot of people, especially if I drop out. I've been in college. This will be my fourth year. So that's just going to push my graduation date back way further.
Kendall, you know what? Let's make a crude comparison here. This is like you're walking down the street. And everybody's happy, and all of a sudden, someone who's walking their dog loses control of the dog. The dog comes and tears up your arm, causes you incredible trauma, and the person says, you know what, I'm going to pay $500 towards your medical bills. Does that make it better?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because, well, first of all, I love dogs, so that would really suck, but it doesn't make it any better. There's still a lot of trauma there.
And you're in that same situation, Kendall.
Yep.
Kendall, I want to ask you a special favor. We have to take a short break here for traffic and weather together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just hearing your story in a little bit more detail is going to mean a lot to our listeners. I don't know you. I didn't plant this call. I have no idea what your situation is outside of what you have just shared. But I wonder if you could spend a couple of minutes with us just so we get a peek into the trauma that has been caused in the life of you and 500,000 other students. And just so you know, if you haven't heard me on this issue, my position is simple. The professors have serious issues to work out with the college system, and the government should fix us. But they have no damn right to take our kids, namely you, hostage in that situation. We'll be back with Kendall in just a moment to wrestle with this issue right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Now, back to the Fanshawe situation. The major development in the story today, Deb Matthews, the minister in charge, saying this.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
And they had a lively debate in the legislature. Kathleen said this.
Mr. Speaker, the solution of the third party would have been to let that bargaining go on forever and keep those students out of class indefinitely. Unacceptable, not a solution, not what we would have done.
Okay, now, calling us just moments ago is Kendall, who is a Fanshawe student. And Kendall, just for those people who have just joined us, can you summarize the pickle that you are in right now? You're a student at Fanshawe. What course are you in? And then what options do you have, Kendall?
So I'm a student at Fanshawe. I'm in the Environmental Design and Planning program. It's a bachelor's program that's only offered at Fanshawe. And because it's such a small program, I only have a couple options. I can drop out, and I would have to pick up my second year next year instead of my third year next year. Or I can stick with it and hope that I can manage to get everything in the next couple of weeks.
Really quickly, let's look at those two options. What is good, what is not good about the first option, dropping out?
The first option, dropping out, I'd get my tuition refund, which would be great because I won't get other financial help because I live at home, so I don't get that $500 that people are getting for rent and childcare and all that kind of stuff because I don't pay any of that. But it will push my graduation date back a full year because I can't pick up any classes next semester.
That stinks. Put a dollar value on you having to wait a year to take this course. Put a dollar value on that. Just not for hardship and heartache and heartbreak and turmoil and psychological trauma. Simply your bills for a year.
Well, fortunately, because I live at home, my parents and I have discussed it, actually, and I would just stay at home. But it would add another close to 10 to 12 grand to my full, like, how much I've paid for school if I have to stay and wait another year to pick up all my classes next year.
I have so much I want to ask you, but the phone lines are lighting up with people who want to talk to you. Let's start with Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My concern is what supports will be available to the students that are going to struggle with that advance or sort of that higher pace to the, you know, 5 weeks less, I think is what you said.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, Kendall, do you worry about the accelerated pace that you're now going to have to find a way to cram all that material from 5 weeks into a much shorter time period?
Absolutely, I'm worried about it. Our program is very project-heavy rather than exam-heavy. So to get the kind of projects done that we have to do, we're going to be learning everything we need to learn in such a short time frame that we might actually not be able to really learn it. Like, we just have to apply it to a project.
How worried are you about being able to handle that, Kendall?
I personally am pretty worried about it. I do have mild depression, and when I get really stressed out, things can get really bad. So it's kind of a good thing I live at home because my parents are really helpful in that regard. But it is, like, it's a big stressor.
Sherry, what are your thoughts about Kendall's story?
Exactly. I have a friend whose son is in his first year Fanshawe and has anxiety, and he doesn't even know if he can show up tomorrow because he is so concerned about the pace, about he's not going to be able to keep up. And so it's awful. And, you know, I've been following you, Andy, the whole time, and I agree 100%. You know, students that maybe don't even have a diagnosed mental illness, it is going to be a struggle. It's very concerning.
I want to explain what I've been referring to. I have said that I believe some students of the 500,000 will take their lives because of the stress created by this strike. And I've gone further and said the blood is on the hands of Smokey Thomas in Friends. Sherry, is that real or is that over the top? Sherry?
Oh, I know. I believe it's real. I 100%. I think it's real, and I think that we're going to see some fallout, and I wonder what the college is going to do and where they're going to step up.
Who's the bad guy here, Sherry?
Both.
Sorry?
Both sides.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's go to Tom. Tom, thanks for waiting.
Hi, Andy. Well, I have to say to Kendall first, like, don't get depressed. Get active, because things can change. You know, we can always get rid of this bunch and get a new government in there that won't kowtow to the teachers' unions like these guys are. Has anybody mentioned that? Oh,
go ahead.
I has anybody mentioned the signing bonus? I just turned in.
Well, about the request from OPSU for the $5,000 signing bonus for each of their members, which they did not get.
Yeah, they wanted a $5,000 signing bonus to kind of cushion the effects of them being on strike.
And what are your thoughts about that? Okay.
The support line there
okay.
for the Fanshawe students?
Oh, okay.
To decide on the Fanjo website.
Okay, you're talking to Andy on the air. What are your thoughts?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean. I thought.
Okay, then
we'll needed. I thought you wanted the support hotline for the students.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Fanshawe situation?
I pray and hope they get back to school before Christmas.
Oh, they're going back tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay. Kendall, in the moments we have left, I'd really like to stay in touch with you. So tell me your state of mind as you approach going back to school tomorrow, trying to make up 5 weeks that have been missed because of this strike.
I'm pretty nervous because of the accelerated time frame that we have to learn everything in. Fortunately, being a small program, we get better one-on-one time with our profs. But I don't know how that's going to be affected because of the whole strike thing, how we're going to feel towards them, how they'll feel towards us. Pardon me?
Okay, Kendall, I wonder, because we are almost out of time, could you send me a short email just so we can stay in touch? It's simply andy@cjbk.com. andy@cjbk.com.
Yep.
And we'll stay in touch because I really, really want to talk to you as this unfolds and really want to encourage you. And you've really touched our listeners, and I thank you for that. So, Kendall, thank you so much.
No problem.
All the best as you head off to school tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, sorry, folks. That was a little rushed. I wish we had a lot more time with Kendall, but we are going to get her contact information. Joining us right after a CTV News update is the man now being introduced as, ladies and gentlemen, the next Prime Minister of Canada, Andrew Scheer, the Tory leader. That's how they introduce him now, Tory rallies. We'll talk to Andrew Scheer right after the news update, right here on The Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 6 minutes after 5 o'clock, I joked earlier about having the MPP from West London, Peggy Sattler, on the line. While I played a clip of Kathleen Wynne, I could just see her cringing. I don't know if Andrew Scheer, who I suspect is now being introduced to Tory rallies as, here he is, the next Prime Minister of Canada. Andrew Scheer, appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
From one Andrew to another. So now, I have not, because this came up during the show, are you in London this afternoon, in the area, obviously?
I am not. I just finished up some duties in the House of Commons today, but am looking forward to planning my next trip to southwestern Ontario. I've got some family in the area. I've been there a few times over the past year and always love coming to visit.
Okay, several quick issues, if we could. One that's totally unfair to ask you this, but we have a 500,000 kids in this province. And you know what? People are going to say, well, it's a provincial issue, not a federal issue, but in a way it's a politician issue. We've got 500,000 kids who've just been screwed by adults who aren't sophisticated enough to figure out a system to resolve a college dispute without going on strike for 5 weeks. The professors went back today. The kids go back tomorrow. The kids are the losers. We just had Kendall on, a heartbreaking story. She may lose her year. Andrew, are there times when even you shake your head at politicians not being able to come up with a solution that avoids this kind of madness?
Well, I know this is infuriating to the students and the parents of kids. When I was in high school, there were some labor actions, and there's always this sense of, holy smokes, you know, could I lose a year because of a dispute between government and the union? You know, this, whatever happens, whatever the issues that do need to be worked out, that can't be the answer, right? There are always legitimate concerns on both sides of management and labor, and we have to find a way where students aren't the victims in that and don't lose their year. That's frustrating. It's not fair, and they don't have options in many of these types of things. So, I certainly sympathize with the frustration of everyone involved in this. And as you mentioned, it's a provincial issue that we can't speak to it from the federal aspect of things. But I certainly do sympathize with all those affected.
Okay, possible solution.
Well, I'm not an expert on provincial dynamics with the with the colleges and the dynamic there with the students. So I can't speak to that. I know that when we've had big labor issues affecting services to Canadians, we have brought in binding arbitration, where we will bring in legislation to force both sides back to the table so that Canadians aren't affected. I think back to the Canada Post strike, where we said, okay, well, you know, Canadians can't go without their postal service, so we're going to set up a process, we're going to legislate it, and ensure that both sides come to the table and figure something out. And I, you know, it sounds like this is the type of thing that took 5 weeks to happen here in Ontario, and as a result, a lot of students are suffering because of it.
Oh my goodness, it gets dark early, doesn't it? Just amazing. It's the downside of switching times, but does get light earlier in the morning, which is kind of nice. Okay, sometimes there's a portion of the show that I really regret that our listeners between 5:30 and 6 did not hear. So I am going to reprise the last 2 minutes. The interview I think went about 10 or 15 minutes, but the last 2 minutes of my exchange with Peggy Sattler. I like Peggy on a personal level, but then I like Dalton McGuinty on a personal level. Heck, I'd even go to say Kathleen has a side to her that is a personal. No, I wouldn't go that far. But Dalton, yeah, he was very engaging. I've had several conversations with him when he would visit the radio stations. But what he did to Ontario, what he did with the gas plant scandal, what he did with a number of other issues for a good Catholic boy, I have some real serious problems with. Okay, Peggy Sattler. I was just trying to get her to say that we need Andy to find a way to resolve college disputes so that we don't cause grief to our kids. Could it be any simpler? The way I put it was, could we please find a system that doesn't depend on screwing the kids? However way you want to phrase it. Surely we should have a way of resolving our college dispute without having to cause the incredible grief to our kids that we heard from Kendall, who called in what was it, just after the 4:30 news, and we had that extended conversation with. We have totally traumatized 500,000 kids. And while some of the politicians refer to it in passing, it makes the whole debate and the approach that everybody has taken unconscionable. And then Deb Matthews stands up today and papers it all over with this quick comment, which is supposed to fix everything.
There will be some students who will withdraw. We will refund their tuition, and there will be no academic penalty.
Thank you.
And Kathleen Wynne still so worried about losing support because she took action to end a strike.
Mr. Speaker, the solution of the third party would have been to let that bargaining go on forever and keep those students out of class indefinitely. Unacceptable, not a solution, not what we would have done.
Okay. So I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere with Peggy Sattler. She is NDP through and through. She bleeds orange, but I gave it a shot. So this is the way the interview wrapped up. What you're saying is, Peggy, forgive me if I am not translating what you're saying properly. If the government does not fix this problem, unions have the right to screw our kids. You won't use that language, but that's what you're saying.
The Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada guarantees the right to bargain collectively as it is a charter right. And so unless a union is there's a jeopardy to public safety, that charter right has to be protected. That, you know, that's not a political position, that's a constitutional position.
Yes, I agree.
I also feel, Andy, that in this case, you know, the Liberals created a system that is clearly completely broken. They created this, you know, through the legislation, the College Collective Bargaining Act in 2008. They created this process which has failed students, it's failed colleges, it's failed communities. That has to be addressed, but also those fundamental issues that could have been, that could have prevented any of this labor disruption if the province had stepped up to the plate and dealt with these things when it should have.
Peggy, I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but what you just repeated, exactly what I said, if the cause is worthy, our professors have the right to screw our kids. Sorry for the blunt language. That's the message you've just conveyed. That's the message of the NDP. We'll see how that bounces in the next election. But these professors...
We're not prepared to declare college faculty as an essential service.
Well, then find a better way, Peggy, to fix this.
We will be doing that, Andy. We're going to be changing the collective bargaining process through the College Collective Bargaining Act, and we're going to ensure that some of these fundamental issues around the underfunding of post-secondary education are addressed.
Okay, so there it is. Ben, your thoughts on what you just heard, or on the Fanshawe situation generally?
Well, generally, I would like to, I know it's not possible, but I would love that 500,000 students would not go to class, get their semester back, money back, and then the colleges put these teachers, on unemployment, and that they suffer. And just like the colleges would.
You're saying that they made the kids suffer, now it's time for them to suffer. Very interesting. Okay, we'll have more time, if you have more reaction, after we check traffic and weather, which will come after Don Cherry and Grapevine.
Let's go to the phones right now.
Right now.
Make your point and shape the discussion. 519-643-1290.
Hello?
It's the Live Drive with Andy Udman.
.550, 10 to 6 if you're left-handed. Heartrending story from Kendall, going back to Fanshawe College tomorrow. She's going to give it a week or so, and then she'll decide. Here's the option. Two options. Quit and give up her year. Can you imagine? And get a refund on her tuition and go back at it next year. Or plunge in knowing that the pace is going to be deadly. Horrific. What a horrible thing we've done to our kids. Tom, your thoughts on the Fanshawe situation?
Hi, Andy. Sorry about the bad call last time. I had a bad connection. But, you know, just listen to that, Ms. Sadler. There is no option next June. I mean, do we want the unions running the province? Like, look what they've done to us, Andy. Over the last 14 years, the unions are running the province. Now this is the way I've been, I understand this was happening. I was reading it today, but just when they were kind of trying to get this, strike underway, Smokey comes out and goes, you know, damn it, you made us go on strikes. Now, damn well, you're going to open up the pocketbook and you're going to give us a $5,000. A teacher, everybody $5,000, because you get, you know, those taxpayers, you open up your wallet and you give us $5,000 a piece because you made us go on strike because you never gave us everything we wanted. Like, is that any way to run the province? And now, by the sound of Miss Sadler, she would do it. She would just give them. Yep. She would give them whatever she wanted. I mean, it's it couldn't be more glaringly apparent what we need to do next June, and the Liberals and the NDP just aren't in there.
Tom, appreciate the call. Just a few moments left here. The Salvation Army is looking for volunteers, and this is when people are busy signing up to hold the kettle.